Dr. Ed Gremenstein, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for September, speaking boldly.
I think we should, as a Lutheran church body, never forget the power of the lay people in their ability to speak both law and gospel. I think it's literally like an untapped army that we can take better advantage of.
You can purchase Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
And what we have found after billions of dollars spent since the Great Society is that every social indicator of marriage, family, parenting has declined.
Right when God created Adam and Eve, he had them work. Work was not the result of sin.
I love my wife and I love my kids, and I can't imagine living without them. But I need to see them as gifts from God, not gods that I can't live without.
This is John in Michigan, and as a Lutheran high school teacher, I love listening to and using Issues Etc. in my classroom.
In Genesis chapter 18, it says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day." He comes in the form of these three visitors who are visiting not only Abraham, but Abraham's wife, Sarah. Now, she's not in on the conversation, although she overhears what is said, and she laughs. Then in chapter 21, it tells us the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised, and Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. This is the end of a long story for Abraham and Sarah. 25 years they had been waiting for this promise to be kept. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson talking about the birth of Isaac in Genesis chapters 18 and 21. Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show Law and Gospel, will be our guest. Terry Mattingly joins us after that. We'll discuss a Reuters story and a New York Times story on the religious faith of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Then in the second hour of Issues Etc., Pastor Will Whedon joins us to continue a conversation on the word righteousness in the Old Testament in our series, The Words of Scripture. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Isaac in Genesis chapters 18 and 21, Pastor Tom Baker. He hosts the radio program called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Why does Sarah laugh when she hears this promise that this time next year she will have a son?
The Sunday school lesson is actually from two chapters, 18 of Genesis 1 to 15 and Genesis 21, 1 to 7. And Lara laughs both times. So if we look at the first one that you had already mentioned, in chapter 18, verse 12, she overheard God telling Abraham that she would have a child. And it says, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?'" And so she was laughing at this statement from God, thinking it was untrue. Whereas in chapter 21, in verse 6, after Isaac is born, here's what it says. "And Sarah said, 'God has made me laugh so that all who hear will laugh with me.'" So in the first laugh, it's kind of a criticism of God, thinking that she can have a child when she was so old. In fact, she doesn't have Isaac until she is 90 years old. But in verse 6, she laughs with joy because God has made me laugh because Isaac has been born to her. And so to a great degree, it's a theme of enduring faith, the CPH Sunday School material, that God makes us laugh a lot of times because there are so many things that are hard to believe that when we first hear them, we kind of laugh at them. But then once we have faith, we laugh again, but this is out of joy.
So set the context for this particular incident that starts in 18 and comes to its conclusion in chapter 21. Talk about how long both Sarah and Abraham had been waiting for God to keep this promise.
Yes, I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to actually go back to chapter 12 also, where the Lord tells Abraham to get out of the country, and he's going to bless those who bless you and will curse those who curse him. And at that time, Abraham, it says in verse 4 of chapter 12, was 75 years old. And in verse 7, the Lord says to Abraham, to your descendants, I will give this land. Well, Abraham didn't have any descendants, so God promises him a child. But the child still hasn't come in chapter 18, where once again, God visits with Abraham, and he appears to him with two other individuals who are angels. And they're the ones that are sent, by the way, to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham says in verse 3 of 18, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass by, but let a little water be brought, wash your feet, rest yourselves under the tree. And he not only gave them a morsel of bread, but he told Sarah to make three measures of fine meal. And also he ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he ate with these individuals. And it says in verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, when in verse 10, the angel of the Lord, who would be Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state, says to Abraham that Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And that's the point where it says they were old, well advanced in age. Sarah passed the age of childbearing, and she had overheard this. And that's when she laughed within herself, saying, how is that possible? And the Lord says to Abraham, verse 13, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a son since I am old? Is not anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But then Sarah, in verse 15, she denies, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. But of course, God says to her, no, you did laugh. And then we go on to the next part of the lesson in chapter 21, where God visited Sarah as he had said, and it's 25 years since God said that Sarah will bear a child. So at that time, she was just 65 years old, and now she's 90. Abraham was 75 years old, now he's 100. And Sarah conceives in chapter 21, verse 2, and bears Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of the son who was born to him Isaac. And he circumcised his son when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And it says he was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. And that's when Sarah said, God has now made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. Because she says, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. So that's the Sunday school lesson. We know the facts of it, but now we need to be talking about the application.
So let's talk a little bit about that. This is not just about this old couple having a child. This is part of a much, much bigger story and promise, isn't it?
Yes. The point and the lesson does a really good job of this and ask a question. Do God's promises depend on whether we believe them? Why or why not? Issues, etc. has people who can call in. And I remember one call-in you had from a gentleman who didn't believe the Bible. He said, oh, so you think that God is going to come back on the last day and judge us all? And he kind of said that was a foolish belief and that was not going to happen. And I was thinking to myself, well, there's God in heaven talking to Gabriel and Michael, and he says, there's an individual down there on earth that phoned into Issues, etc., that said God is not going to return on Judgment Day. So I guess since he doesn't believe it, I can't keep my promise. And of course, Gabriel and Michael would laugh because they know that whether we believe it or not, God keeps his promises. And we're going to find out the promises that he has kept for us, which is really important. The Sunday school lesson lists a number of promises that we may laugh at when we first hear it because it sounds so ridiculous, but then they make us glad. And the Bible verse is Psalm 126, verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. And that's because he has kept his promises, beginning, of course, with the coming of Jesus Christ in the Bethlehem stable. But more than that, more than the history of what Jesus endured and experienced, are the promises connected to that history.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll get into those promises that God has kept for us in Jesus Christ as we teach a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Isaac in Genesis chapters 18 and 21.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Dr. Ed Gremenstein, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, speaking boldly.
I think we should, as a Lutheran church body, never forget the power of the lay people in their ability to speak both law and gospel. I think it's literally like an untapped army that we can take better advantage of.
You can purchase Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland, is just like any other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues, Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. facebook.com/Luther Academy.
We're conducting a silent auction for the next 5 weeks. Proceeds go to the new studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. This week, we're offering up for auction the Issues Etc. banner. If you've ever seen an Issues Etc. remote, you've seen this banner. It traveled with us for years, I believe more than decades, all around the country as we did Issues Etc. remotes. And it also hung in the old Issues Etc. studio. The highest bid so far is $100. You could own a piece of Issues Etc. history. Send your bid for the Issues Etc. banner to lynn@issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. We'll announce the winner this Friday. In the meantime, we're teaching a Sunday school lesson talking about the birth of Isaac as recorded in the book of Genesis. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel is our guest. Let's get into more of those promises you say that through this account in the Old Testament has application to us.
Yes. And that's a big point that is being made here, that because we understand how Abraham and Sarah believed the promises of God and God was faithful to them, we also have a whole set of promises in the Bible which shows how God is faithful to us. But the world laughs at these promises. I would consider the number one promise to be the forgiveness of sins. The reason the world laughs at that is they can't imagine a God who will forgive your sins without you paying them back somehow, either in good works or in penance or this kinds of thing. And a lot of times in a worship service, you'll hear the absolution where the pastor, in God's authority, forgives sins, but the people continue to be sinful as they were prior to the absolution. And so where's the evidence of this forgiveness of sins? It's found in the words of Jesus, even from the cross. "My God," he says to his Father, "forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And so we believe that our sins are forgiven. And what does that mean? It means God no longer holds believers accountable for their sins. Therefore, hell will not be our destination. We still will have temporal consequences because the forgiveness of sins doesn't get rid of that. So if you go over the speed limit, you're still going to have to pay a ticket. But eternal spiritual promises of the forgiveness of sins goes on. The world laughs at that. In fact, I was told recently, a woman was saying to me, "Do you know why we smile when we confess our sins to God in the worship service?" I said, "No, what's your reason?" "Because we know what's coming after, namely, the absolution of the forgiveness of sins." So the world may laugh that God has forgiven sins for no reason at all. It's by grace, which means we do not deserve it. Nobody deserves the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And the world cannot understand that because nothing happens to them in the world that they don't deserve. They go to the next grade in school because they've accomplished the tests. They get a raise because they're doing good at work. They end up marrying someone because they're very kind to them, etc. Everything seems to be on the basis of works, but not the forgiveness of sins. And tying that in is the second great promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many times have I baptized an infant in church and the infant keeps on crying after the baptism? There seems to be no change in the infant, but there is a change from God's point of view, because not only has the infant received the gift of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins, but as the infant goes through confirmation class, he or she will also be permitted to take the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. So the world looks at Christians and we say they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but the world sees sin in a lot of us. And they say, we laugh at that, because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be doing good works. So those are the first two gifts that God promises. And they can be summarized with the third gift, namely salvation. If you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I'm reading Romans 10:9, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved on that day of judgment. That is how salvation comes about. Not because you have done a lot of good works and offset your sins, but because you confess through faith that Jesus is Lord, that he has been raised from the dead, and that is what saves us. Faith saves us. And not even repentance or contrition, because that's also a work of God. It's not to be merited to us. Then you've got all these promises that God gives throughout the Bible. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6. The world laughs at that, because it appears there are times that Christians have been forsaken by God. But we know he never forsakes us. At times, we can see how all things work together for our good, Romans 8:28. Sometimes we can't see the good, therefore we trust that God is working it out for good. And what was the great promise Jesus gave to his disciples the night of the resurrection? Went into the room that was all locked up. He says, peace to you. And that peace, the world laughs at, because Christians don't have peace. They have a lot of suffering they go through. What are you guys talking about, they say. But the peace he's talking about is that God the Father is no longer hostile to us because of our sins, because Jesus has paid the debt for those sins. So sometimes we fall into a temptation or have temptation, but God promises to help us even in our temptation. First of all, he will not allow a temptation beyond our ability to resist. And according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And even if we fall into temptation, as we recognize the sin we have done, by repentance, we're asking God to forgive it, and he does. Now, there's 100 more promises I could talk about, Todd, but the big one at the end of life is he has a place for us in heaven. John 14, he says, when we die, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is why a lot of people in the world laugh at a funeral, thinking that the person lying before them is also in heaven. But we know that the spirit of the believer has gone to heaven, and so we are rejoicing and comforted by the words from the funeral that God has given us in the preaching that is being heard during that funeral service. And there are many, many, many more promises God gives to us.
Finally, then, what's the law and gospel lesson for this week's Sunday school lesson?
The law and gospel is, a lot of times when we suffer or things are not going right, we tend not to trust that God is in control or that his promises are not true for us. But the gospel indicates it doesn't matter what is happening to us, but God, in his mercy, does carry out his promises and then gives me faith to trust in them. So whether I have obvious evidence that the promises are happening in my life, I need not worry, because what faith is trusting the word of God and trusting that his promises come true. And so a lot of times we're like children. Our parents will make us a promise, but it takes a long time for them to fulfill it. And we wonder, did they forget, or am I not going to get it? And then one day we get it and we realize, boy, they are keeping their promises. God never forgets. So when he makes a promise to us, the gospel promise, which is the promises connected to the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ and his entire life, always will come true for us, as they did come true for Abraham and Sarah.
Here is the Christ connection in the lesson for this day from Enduring Faith. Christ is the ultimate answer to all God's promises. Through faith in Jesus, we have the promise of eternal life. Enduring Faith is the new Sunday School curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. You can get a free sample, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy on the Talk On Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, and for almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you.
Terry Mattingly is with us on the other side of the break. There's a Reuters story that had some interesting edits made to it. It was on the religious faith of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Also a New York Times story on the same subject. Terry has some good things to say about it for a change. We'll see what they are after this. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618- 223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Ars Moriendi, the art of dying well. If death is the punishment for sin, then how does one die well? Well, that's the question we ask and answer in the September issue of The Lutheran Witness. We ask and answer the most common questions, fears, and doubts faced by Lutherans and Christians as they approach death. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness. cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Are you on the road to paradise in the southern Puget Sound area of Western Washington, but looking for a traditional liturgical Lutheran congregation in Classical Lutheran Elementary School? Parkland Lutheran Church and School in Tacoma, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is the place to find our Savior's rest on Sunday mornings and Monday evenings. Visit our website at parklandlutheran.org for service times and downloadable sermons, preaching, teaching, and distributing Christ and Him crucified every week.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries, right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.